I am Amy Baker, and I am delighted that you guys are here. This is a highlight of the year for us. We look forward to this all year long, so it is just a blessing to have you guys here. I have been on our counseling staff here since, I think, 1987, so quite a long time, and I get to start off track seven with you tonight by talking to you about in-laws. So let me just pray and ask for God's blessing on our time together, and then we'll dive into this resolving in-law conflicts. So, glorious Lord, we are just so thankful for your goodness and for your wisdom, Lord. We're also thankful that you bring beauty out of ashes, that you are a redeemer, that you buy us back out of the messes that we make, and that when we dig the hole really deep and the pit is so deep and miry that we can't get out of it, you lift us up out of the miry pit and you put our feet on solid ground. And as we think this week about getting to walk alongside people who are in a miry pit in their marriage or in conflict, and the fact that you will lift us up out of miry pits and set our feet on solid ground, we just want to say, Lord, you're the best. We adore you. You are worthy of all of our worship and praise. And may our time this week just reflect that. And in the end, Lord, can we end the week just saying, God is truly the best. He is worthy of all my adoration and praise. And I want to praise him more and more because he's worthy. You are the best. We love you. Amen. All right. So got our minds in resolving in-law conflicts now. When it comes to in-laws, some folks have some pretty strong opinions. Listen to what these self-appointed pundits had to say. Adam and Eve were the happiest and the luckiest couple in the world because neither of them had a mother-in-law. Or this one, what should you do if you miss your mother-in-law? Do you know how this one's going to end? Reload the gun and try again. Yes. All right. And then this one, dear mother-in-law, I don't need you to teach me how to handle my children. I'm living with one of yours, and he needs a lot of improvement. All right? No wonder we have in-law conflicts, right? In-law relationships often involve suffering. Establishing a new in-law relationship, even in the best of situations, is often tinged with suffering. Let's think about some examples here. You all are an in-law, okay? Whether you're married or not, you all are an in-law. So you're an in-law right now. And for 20 years or so, you've gotten to wake up on Christmas morning and enjoy sweet times with your family. You have traditions that have been built over years and years and years. Perhaps it began when you were young and you begged your parents to open presents on Christmas Eve. And your mom always said, nope, you can't. And you kids would just wear her down until finally you say, okay, you can open just one. And then you just kept going. And by the time it was all over, you had opened all your presents on Christmas Eve. That's a sweet memory for you. That was a sweet tradition. You fill in whatever you want for those traditions, but those exist for both of you in your marriage, for both the husband and the wife. And there have probably been precious things on both sides of that family, as well as to each of your parents. And so naturally, you all want to keep doing it. But you can't. And no longer celebrating those times that you've had in the past may stir up grief. Now, for some of you, that's going to be offset a bit by the anticipation of creating new family traditions. But not for everyone. Or consider the suffering involved in allowing children to leave. You remember the day of their birth. You remember walking the floor all night long with a colicky baby. You remember the first tooth that she lost. You remember sitting in sub-freezing weather watching soccer games that went on forever. You drove a 15-year-old car in order to save money for braces and piano lessons and college. You have invested significant treasure in this relationship, and God's word clearly tells us that where your treasure is, your heart's going to be there too. Or consider trying to step into the shoes of your new role as a husband. You try to work with your new spouse to set up a budget based on your income, but your spouse silently resents that her clothing budget isn't as big as when she lived with mom and dad, and they bought her clothing. 2 weeks later, you come home and you find out that she's called mom, told her mom her clothing woes, and her mom came and took your wife shopping, and they bought out all the stores. And she, your mom, your mother-in-law paid for everything. And how do you feel? Humiliated. Or suppose that you're a wife, you work all day long at a demanding job, but you come home every evening and you fix dinner for your spouse. But at least once a week, he makes a reference to how his mom cooked what you just prepared. And it's not your cooking he's praising. Or you struggle with guilt and regret over parenting. And you've been trying to make it up to your child, trying to do penance, and allowing your child to leave and cleave with their spouse now means you're not going to be able to make it up anymore. You can't do that penance anymore because they're not there for you to continue to do that and to try to make you feel. And so those feelings of guilt aren't going to be able to be assuaged anymore. Or divorce creates a situation, as it often does, where your child moved into the role of companion and confidant. And now it's like you've lost your best friend. Or just plain old desires of the heart for control or significance battle for the upper hand in your heart. You still want to be the most important person in your child's life. Or you still want to tell your child how he or she should live because you know what's best for them. In-law relationships often involve suffering. So let's think about, how might we respond to suffering in these relationships? What are some of the ways that we might respond? Give me some input. You've seen it, I'm sure. What are some of the responses that we see in in-law relationship? Avoid them. Yep, for sure. Fight for control, I heard. Yes, what else? Stuff it down, hide it, resent. Good. Oh, move 4,000 miles away. Denial, never talk about it. Some of you aren't talking about it, but there are those people who do what? They talk about it, don't they? And when they talk about it, is it pretty? It's not pretty. There's anger, there's nasty fights. For some people, they're going to try to do whatever it takes to maintain the peace, to get the approval of their mother-in-law, you know, the daughter-in-law who's trying to get the approval of her mother-in-law. And what's going to happen? She's not ever going to get it, right? She's not ever going to get it. Gossip, all those kinds of things. So watch what you wear. Watch what you wear. On the day of the wedding, pretty much every member of the wedding party takes special care of their clothing. Now, obviously, the most noticeable example of that is the bride. But you better believe those mothers spent a fair amount of time figuring out what they were going to wear that day, too. And even if you don't care, if you're a man and you don't care what you look like, there is somebody in the family who is going to make sure that you look good on that day. I can just count on it. But the clothing that we wear after the wedding, when we're with our in-laws, is even more important. In-laws notice and make evaluations about your clothing after the wedding as much, if not more, than they do on the day of your wedding. So when we interact with our in-laws, we need to watch what we're wearing. Colossians chapter 3, 12 through 14 says this, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility, gentleness and patience.